Let us pray. Almighty God, we're grateful for this moment in time and ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, Lord, that you would draw us closer to yourself. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts and our minds. God, that you would help us to follow you and to seek you. And Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my savior. Amen. In your worship folder is a sheet of paper. On one side, it has sermon notes. You can fill in the blank. On the other side, it's weekly devotions. There's a set of scriptures that falls in line with today's theme of running the race, and I encourage you to take that home with you and follow along during the course of the week. And if you're listening online, there's a PDF download file that has both of these documents. Now, as we come to this message today, I asked the question this morning, what's the furthest distance you have not run, but raced? What's the furthest distance you have raced? And so I asked that question and I expect a response. What's the furthest distance? 1 mile. Who's run a mile before? In a race. Longer. Who's run more than a mile in a race? Okay, more than 2 miles. 3 miles. Are we talking a 5K? 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 All right. Who's run a 10K? 10K. All right. 10K is how many miles for us English people? 6.2 miles. All right. All right. So, I remember in elementary school when we had to participate in the Presidential Fitness Program. Does anyone remember the Presidential Fitness Program? Oh my gosh, we had to run 600 yards. Oh, 600 yards. That translates to not quite 3/8 of a mile. 3/8 of a mile. And for an 8-year-old though, who had never run, that was a long distance. That was a long distance. In high school, I began to run track. Sometimes we had to run a 4-mile warm-up. 4-mile warm-up. Yes, I said warm-up. What was that? What was with that? Not fast, but it turns out I was not a long-distance guy. But it turns out I was not a sprinter either. I was a quarter-miler, a 3:30 hurdles kind of guy. Not fast enough for the sprints and not fast enough for the long distances. For a half mile, I remember that first half mile, I finished in 2:36. There were guys that were finishing in 2 minutes or less. That put me way behind. I've never run the mile or the 2 mile races. Of course, as it turns out, I wasn't fast enough for the quarter mile either. You see, we had a guy on our track team who was trying to break 49 seconds. And in that day, 49 seconds at the high school level, that was fast. In fact, he put it on the back of his jersey, 49.0, to psych out anyone he was running against. My first time race was like 61 seconds. I remember some of us running against him as sophomores. Now get this, this is the 440-yard race. It's broken down into four 110-yard marks. And at the 110-yard mark, I was still with him. At the halfway mark, I was still right there. Even at the 3:30 mark, three-quarters of the race, I was right there thinking to myself, what's this guy got anyway? And then he began to pull away. Like I was standing still. He continued with his fluid stride while I was tying in to one big knot. Barely able to keep one leg moving in front of the other. You wouldn't think that 110 yards, you wouldn't think that in 110 yards you could fall behind by 8 to 10 seconds. Making up the difference between his 49 and my 61. But let me tell you, it's possible. But in the scope of life, these races are sprints. These races are sprints lasting but a moment in time. Now, the marathon. That's a race. That's a race. It's defined by the ability to function at a solid pace for a very, very, very long time. And in my 20s, I considered running in the Detroit Marathon. I even looked at how I would need to train, beginning a running schedule for up to 6 months before the event, just so that I could finish the race. I gathered all this information, and then I didn't take another step. Literally. And so even though I desired to run this great race, I never stepped up to the starting line. Even though I knew I would have a great cheering section of family and friends, I didn't even warm up. I never stepped up to any line to even begin training. And so I could not run the race. The writer of Hebrews has just encouraged the Jewish Christians to continue on in their faith, sharing the stories of men and women of great faith, commending them for their faith in a way to fortify and to give them hope to the current believers to continue on toward God, toward love, toward perfection. And then he writes these words to remind them of one thing, of the one thing and the secret to running a great race. Read it with me. Since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Some of us have a great personal cloud of witnesses to our faith. Others of us have not had much. But we all share in the faith of the ancients found in the Old Testament. The writer seems to remind us that these giants of the faith are watching us. They're still watching us, cheering us on. And we know to throw off, cheering us on, to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. You know, one of the aspects of running a marathon is this. You don't want to carry any more weight than you need. With technology today, the clothing and shoes runners wear today are feather light. To carry an additional weight, even ounces, will add up over the miles to feel like you're carrying pounds. Or carrying a ton of weight. The writer implores his readers to do the same. Throw off everything that hinders. It begs the question, and we note, what might be the things that hinder you in your faith journey with God? What might be the things that hinder you in your faith journey with God? In almost everyone's journey, there is one problem we all share that hinders us in our faith journey with God. Every one of us. And it has to do with time. It has to do with time. Some will say, I just don't have enough time in my day for God. Which is really saying I didn't prioritize the time I need for God or have for God because God's not important enough to me. That's really what we're saying. Someone told me that they don't know how to center their time around God in their day. And there are things you can do, reading or even listening to the Bible. Listening to the Bible is, you don't have an excuse not to listen to the Word of God while you're walking, while you're exercising, while you're cleaning the house. It's all available, memorizing and meditating on Scripture. Man, something strikes you, God speaks to your heart, take that Scripture and carry it around with you for the day. Let it bounce around in that brain. Listening to Christian music. I remember when I first really committed myself to the Lord, I had a collection of music that was to die for. And I threw some of it away because I knew that it wasn't going to help me get closer to God. And I began spending that listening time that I had listening to Christian music. And I was playing guitar and I started playing Christian music. And what are the other things besides time that hinders us? I'll tell you one thing is our own skepticism. well, whatever causes you to be skeptical, I tell you what, you have no excuse either. You should be able to Google it and seek to understand the truth from God's perspective. Now, I understand Google's got a ton of junk out there too. But if you're truly interested in the things that are keeping you from God, you should be able to Google. For instance, why do bad things happen to good people? If bad things happen to good people, there must be no God. And I tell you, there is a God. But you are stuck using why bad things happen to negate God's existence. And that's just not the truth. The second thing we note, what ongoing sin in your life entangles or traps you? What area of your life are you being disobedient to God in? Maybe you're more interested in things, materials, than you are in God. Money, greed of time. Money, sexual sin, pride, anger, lust, envy, jealousy, and the list goes on. What area of your life are you being disobedient to God in? What is it that traps you or keeps you from God? Because when you're disobedient over and over and over again, it causes a distance, a gap to develop between you and God. And it opens and widens if it's not addressed. And we don't address them. What ongoing sin in your life causes you to be entangled or traps you or keeps you at a distance from God? One is simply feeling that I'm not good enough or worthy enough. And friends, that is true. Isn't that wonderful to know? You're not worthy enough for God. Well, at least that's what everyone would have you believe. But the truth is, we were created to be in relationship with God. And so all we need to do is really humbly confess our sin, our disobedience to God, and ask God for forgiveness. And God will do what? Forgive you. It's not that hard. But sometimes we make it harder than it is. We add stuff to our race. If you want to run a marathon and finish the race, I know I'd have to make time to run various distance. And maybe to do a little speed training along the way. It might mean I have to put aside some things I might like to do that I could do the thing that I want to do. So that I could run the race and finish the race strong. I'd have to put away ice cream. Yes, I said it. And other bad foods for good living food that builds my body stronger and stronger. I'd have to choose pure water over sugary drinks and alcohol. I'd have to put away excuses to do the runs. And for the most, just take the first few steps out the door. That's all it takes sometimes is those first few steps to get into the swing of things. I might have to go to bed earlier or wake up earlier for training runs. If I want to do something, I probably have to give up something else. And if God is important in your life, then what maybe do you need to put aside? We note that the writer goes on to give us two keys in running the race with perseverance. Two keys in running the race with perseverance. Read the first one with me. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. Do you see one of the two keys? The first key we note is this: fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. It strikes me that if we want to learn to do something, we need to do something or fix something anymore, many people will turn to, here's the word again, Google or YouTube to learn how to do it, because somebody's already done it before. The first time a light went out in my brake lights or my car or my front headlights, what did I do? I went to YouTube and I asked, how do you replace a light bulb for a 2011 Ford Edge? And guess what? Somebody showed me how. If we want to run our faith journey with perseverance, we need to focus on something. And the writer says it should be on Jesus. Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. I know people who love a particular movie and they can even quote large parts of that movie, their favorite lines. Do you have movies that you have lines that you know? Of course you do. Shouldn't we be able to do that with the words that Jesus said or promises that he makes to us? Shouldn't we be able to have those words and to speak those words when we need them? You see, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus. Each day, each week, month, or year, set short-term goals on how you can better fix your eyes on Jesus for a minute, for 2 minutes, for 5 minutes, for half an hour of your day. A runner will find something in front of them to fix their eyes on, maybe another runner or a landmark, and they'll say to themselves, I'm going to run until I get there. And when they get there, they find the next landmark to run to until they see the finish line. What are some of the ways that Christians can fix their eyes on Jesus? A Christian may set marks on what they need to read in the Bible, say a chapter a day from the Gospels, listening for 10 minutes after reading Scripture, or listening for 10 minutes a day, and then after reading Scripture to listen for what God may be speaking to you about or asking you about. A Christian may set marks on how to advance in their faith journey. I was reading in the Bible the other day and God said this to me, or this Sunday God really impressed upon me that I should run with perseverance a spiritual race, or to run the spiritual race I need to focus on Jesus. What is it that God is speaking to you? And use that as the marker you're going to run to. At least one time each month, be involved in ministry or mission, a mission project. What are some other ways that you can set your eyes on Jesus on a regular basis? I don't know. What's God asking you to do? Write those down and then try to implement one or two of them this week. Doing something has a chance of succeeding. Doing nothing, you've already lost. Put one step out and get started. That's the first key. The second key begins for the joy set before him. Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Read the rest with me. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. When we consider what Jesus endured for us, it gives me a reminder of what I might need to endure also. You see, if Jesus did that for me, might I be willing to do that too? Maybe even for someone else? For someone else may be watching me as I seek to be like Jesus for them. You've got those two questions at the beginning. What might be things that hinder you or on your journey, and what ongoing sin in your life may entangle or trap you? There's space underneath that. I want you to take this home and I want you to write those things down that hinder or entrap you. And then you can put your paper down. You see, the marathon is one of the longest races, and I promise that every racer in the marathon has a moment or two of difficulty. I cannot say what your difficulty is these days. Maybe it's loneliness. Maybe it's fears, brokenness over loss. Parents are aging, simply you're aging. Fixed incomes. Maybe you've received bad news about your job or your family. I don't know what the difficulties are these days that you face. Things are not turning out as you hoped they would. Sometimes these difficulties make it difficult to put one foot in front of the other. You seem to be tying up in one big knot. But know there is a great cloud of witnesses that is cheering you on. Come on, you can do it. One more foot. One more step. You see, God, the Holy Spirit who lives in you, is giving you the power to continue. If you just tap into God, God will give you the power to run the race. You know, in a marathon, there are places or rest areas. Well, they're not rest areas, but they're water stops. They're not stops because you want to keep running. But it's a place where you pick up some water so you can drink it. I tell you, stop at the fountain of the water of life itself with God and spend some extra time there. Sit with Jesus for a little while longer. Allow Him to refresh you for yet another day. In the marathon, there are those stations to pick up water and drink to assist you in the race. Why, friends, would you want to run a marathon alone? Bring a friend along. Talk about your faith. Share your struggles. Pray for one another. Becoming a member of a community of faith is akin to dipping into the well of life when one is parched. You see, Jesus endured the cross that we might live. That we might live a full life. Because He lived, I can face any tomorrow that comes before me. Because I know that He holds my future in His hands. Amen? Let us pray. Almighty God, as we continue to worship You, Lord, help us in this moment to remember that You have endured all that we would ever endure. And Lord, You counted it joy to endure for our sake. And Lord, help us to count it for joy, knowing that in our race we have a cloud of witnesses watching, cheering us on. And that there are some who are watching who maybe have not stepped out onto the pavement yet to run. And they're watching. Lord, use us. Draw us to Yourself. And remind us to fix our eyes on the author and perfecter of our faith,